And welcome to all of you, visitors. May God bless you, and hopefully you can be blessed as you consider the Word of God today. I brought my little Christian light along, and one of the things that brings meaning into my life is taking things apart. My wife has a bread knife, maybe that doesn't work. I'll take it apart and look at it, see if I can see what's wrong, and maybe repair it. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I've repaired things that, you know, you wouldn't really think could be repaired, and I've tried to repair things, and I've made it worse. But anyways, this here, maybe I'll have one of the children tell me what you think this is, or what this is. Just this part right here. Can you see? Yes, Kyle. The battery. And then on top of here, I took a little, I don't know if you can see it or not, but it's a little LED light that comes out of these, you know, you see these pens with lights on them. I took the light out and thought I'd see if I can make it shine with the 9-volt battery. And so I'll be talking about, not so much about the battery, but about, if I can make this work here. And I don't know if the voltage is right, so it might burn for a while, it might go out, I'm not quite sure. But, so we have a battery and we have a light, and maybe I'll just do this on the board for those of you that, so you can see better in the back. Well, this one here, might as well go to the trash. Let's try this guy. Somebody was playing with the markers, the tips are all gone. Tips are all gone. Here we go. See if this one works. So we got a 9-volt battery, and we have positive, and we have negative. And then when you cross the negative to the positive with a little light bulb, theoretically you have a light that comes on. So negative is us. Positive is God. And God makes us His light bulbs, and when there's a connection between the two, why, there is light, Christian light. Out on our sign it says Christian Light Fellowship, and I actually like that term, just because of what it says. Christians are what? Christians are the light of the world. So the challenge, though, is, are we that light of the world? Are we that Christian light that is shining in a dark place? I want to speak to you from 1 John 5, verses 5 through 7. Maybe we'll just read that right now. 1 John chapter 1. The epistle of John, in verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Can we just pause for prayer? Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you that you are the light. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and the light of humanity. You're the light that was sent from heaven to enlighten our path, to enlighten our lives, and to bring light in this world, into this world of darkness. We say thank you. And I pray that you would help me to only speak under the inspiration and the power and the baptism of your Holy Spirit as I stand before my brothers and sisters with your precious word. I pray that you would take charge of our time the next hour. For your glory and for your praise, I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, the outline for the sermon is, describe the light of God and the lack of darkness in Him. And then, what does it mean to walk in the light? And the result of walking in the light. So, God help me to do that adequately in a way that will be beneficial and helpful to all of us. My desire for this sermon is to help bring us into a better position to reflect more light. Now, if you went out last night or this morning and you looked up in the sky, you would have seen what? Was anybody up early enough to see what was in the sky this morning? Full moon, thank you. So the moon is a what? A reflection of the sun. So if the sun goes out, the moon goes out. Sun comes on, the moon comes on. And so the moon is there reflecting the light. And I'll be talking probably, I plan to talk about some of the science of light. I might just expose more ignorance than anything, but there's some very fascinating things about the science of light. And God was the creator of all light, whether physical or spiritual. And today, I believe that the world, generally speaking, is becoming increasingly dark. And in many ways, the light of the Church of Jesus Christ, sadly, is fading. And I was just taken back to read in the news here just an example of how dark it is actually becoming in so-called churches. But there's an Anglican priest in London that is praying that Prince George would be gay, so that it would cause greater acceptance of the satanic gay movement. That's what I call it. And while I realize that, you know, we love the gay people, we should not hate them. But their lifestyle is horrendous in the eyes of God. And it's specifically designed to destroy civilization as we know it. I have no doubt about that. But this just tells you, a preacher praying that Prince George, which is the son of the royal couple in Britain, would be, he's only 4 years old or something like that, would be gay. That is horrible. But the darker it becomes in the world, the brighter the light will shine, right? The darker the darkness, the brighter the light. So we as Christians should be excited for the opportunity to become a greater light for the kingdom in this world of darkness as it grows darker. As it grows darker, the light is increasing, hopefully. Sometimes the light, as it grows darker, our lights become less. But God intended for us to become brighter as it grows darker in the world. Ye are the light of the world. Thank you for that song, James, this morning. The light of the world is Jesus. And when Jesus is in you, you become that light to the world. So it was dark, probably cold and watery, and all of a sudden there was a voice that spoke out of the darkness. Let there be light. Who was speaking? Almighty God of the universe. Let there be light. And there was light. When God speaks, He brings into existence the things that He speaks. Let there be light. And there has been light ever since, hasn't there? It's amazing. So the voice thundered out of the darkness, let there be light. And light blazed forth in all its glory. The seven colors of the light spectrum shone forth in heavenly brilliance. Now if you see light, I don't know how much you know about light, but when the rainbow is out there, there's seven major colors. That is actually what light is. Light is made up of colors. And I can't very well explain it to you, but I'll do my best. Light has wavelengths and radiation. I don't see Wes here, but he works in radiology in the hospital. That is a form of light. It's a light that you can't see. Ultraviolet light, infrared light. Those are all lights, but you can't see them. Our eyes are programmed to see the light spectrum that we see. Very fascinating, the study of light. But it came forth when God spoke. That light came forth in all its glory. There's a light that overpowers the darkness. When you walk into a dark room, you turn the light on, the light doesn't just hide there on a pile on the floor, does it? No, it goes away. And that's amazing. And that was because when God spoke, let there be light, light came forth, and darkness had to go. Now, it sounds like it was all mixed together. What do we call it when, children, what do we call it when you mix black and white together? Look at Bruce. He has that color on. And a couple others have that color on. What do we call that? Anybody? Yes, gray. Does God have any gray areas? We like to think he does. Oh, that's just a little gray area. No. God doesn't have any gray areas. We have gray areas, but God doesn't. He separated the light from the darkness. It's black or white. And I go along very well with that. I'm more that type of a personality. I'm compassionate to people that say, well, it's just a gray area. If you have a lot of gray areas in your life, it's because you have a lack of knowledge. You must understand that it's either black or white. Now, there's things that God doesn't care about. If you want to call those gray areas, okay. But that's not really a gray area. It's black or white. God made that separation right from the beginning. I think God made that separation. He did that. We're talking about physical light mostly, but he also did it in the spiritual sense. So light overpowers darkness and reveals all of the colors known to man. I personally believe one of the great things about the new heaven and the new earth, there'll be colors that we have never seen before. More than likely, there'll be lots of things we've never seen before, but there'll probably be colors that we don't know exist. But today, the light shines, it hits an object, and there's a revelation of color or whatever. So the question would be, you know, you've heard this probably said and debated, if a tree falls in the forest and it hits the ground, does it make a sound if nobody's there to hear it? It makes a vibration, that's what I say. And if there's ears there to pick it up, the sound is there. If it's dark, if you go in your closet and close your door and you look at all of your dresses or shirts, there's no light, is there any color? It's the same thing. It's an interesting phenomena to think about. Light, when it shines on something, like my shirt, for instance, is black. So it doesn't reflect any light. If you shine your flashlight on here, there's no reflection. If you shine the flashlight on the wall here, the white wall, there's a reflection of light. And I hope as we go through this that you can think of ways to apply this to you as a Christian. And that's the whole point of the sermon. But the light, just physical light in itself, is actually a very fascinating study. God went on to create even greater dimensions of light. I was just blown away about on this scale. He made the light. He divided the light from the darkness. And then he went on to make lights. He made so many lights. I wish I could impress you with the scale of the lights and the space that he created. But if you know anything about the universe, I'm not quite sure how they calculate all this. I'm sure these are probably general numbers. But he made even greater lights on the scale of at least 100 billion galaxies. How many of you have heard of a galaxy? 100 billion galaxies. And our galaxy, the Milky Way, is our home, or the home of our Earth. And it's kind of shaped like, sort of like that. And there's I guess these bands are bands of stars and so on. And somewhere in here, when you zoom away from this galaxy, you couldn't even see the Earth. I'm not sure if you could see the sun. But it takes 90,000 years, 90,000 light years. You know what a light year is? Light travels 186,000 miles per second. This is totally overwhelming. So a light year is how far light travels in a year at 186,000 miles per second. So 90,000 years across one galaxy, which is our home. And God made 100 billion of these galaxies. And I'm just like, God, I mean, do you even know we are here? You're so big. I mean, you would think that, how can he even know that we're around somewhere when he made this vast universe and he put all kinds of light in this universe? Study it. It's a great time to be alive as far as information about these things. I mean, you can just lose yourself in the massive knowledge through technology that we have today, and realize that this God is so, so massive. And yet he chose us to be his little lights somewhere way down on a small dot on this planet Earth. He chose us to be a light of the earth, a light of the world. There are around 200 billion stars in this Milky Way. 200 billion stars. And some of those stars are so big you cannot even imagine it. Louis Giglio does a good video on if the Earth were the size of a golf ball. He goes through this and it's just fascinating. But anyways, all that to say that God made many lights in the universe, so many that we cannot even comprehend it, talking about physical light. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Does that describe your life? You're a Christian, right? You're a follower of Jesus. You're a child of the light. Is there any darkness in your life? In him is no darkness at all. That describes God. One of the fascinating things about the mercy of God and the humbling things about the mercy of God is that when a person comes to him in redemption or wants redemption or repentance, like we were talking about in Sunday school, he repents and God says, "Welcome into my family. Welcome to me. Welcome to me as you're my child. I will accept you 100% fully, securely. You have nothing to worry. I will keep you. I love you. You're my own." And many, many more words like that you can read throughout the scriptures. While we are such imperfect beings, I'm going to use the word sinful. This doesn't feel good to us. I'm a Christian. I don't have sin. Yeah, you do. I'm sorry, but you do. Do you have sin in your life as a Christian? You don't have to raise your hand. Do you? What is sin? The simple definition of sin is missing the mark. Do you miss the mark in your life at times? Paul said, "I haven't attained. I'm one that's striving, but I haven't attained. I'm not perfect. But God has declared us perfect because of Jesus, the Messiah, came down to this earth, shed his blood on that cross. And when we believe by faith, we are saved in spite of our imperfections." That is one of the most wonderful, humbling things about redemption. That God makes us his children while he is perfect, there's no darkness in him. He sees the darkness in our lives, and yet he takes us into his arms and loves us and adopts us and makes us his own. Yes, he has a desire to cleanse us, and he cleanses us little by little. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking about Christians. There's a continual cleansing. There's a continual revelation of darkness in our lives. Sin in our lives. When God shines his light, he shines his light into the dark corners, and we see, hey, there's something. We don't like to look at it. We look at it and we look away. You know, God keeps telling us, look, there's some darkness here. In his mercy, he does that, and he wants to get rid of it. I would propose to you, if you're struggling with the sin as a Christian, it may simply be God's way of showing you that this sin is in your life. This may be a sin that you've never dealt with in your life, and you weren't even aware that it's there, really. And all of a sudden, it becomes visible, and you're like, oh, you know, I have this sin in my life. And the devil immediately wants to bring condemnation on you and self-condemnation and rejection and all of those things. But it is actually God showing you, look, there's a sin in your life. Just confess it and be cleansed. He does that on a continual basis if we're walking in the light as he is in the light. So allow that to be your perspective as you go through your Christian life. When there's a sin comes into focus, look at it as an opportunity for God to bring more cleansing to me. God is light. What is light? I already tried to describe it to you a little bit. God is the source and creator of all light, whether it's scientific or spiritual. And there is no darkness in the presence of God. When we get to heaven, there is no night there, right? It's one of the amazing things about our destination, where we're going, hopefully. There's no night there. God is light. There can't be night where God is. It's all light, whether physical or spiritual. But must be, we won't get tired either. We'll always be awake. Light is energy flowing from a source. What is the source for physical light? Somebody tell me. Just heard me say it. I'm checking to see if you're following. What is the source for physical light? God. God is the source. What is the source for spiritual light? God. God is the energy source. Light is energy flowing from somewhere. So in other words, this little Christian light battery is energy. It's got energy in there to last that little light for a long time. Those little lights don't take much. But there's energy hidden away in that battery. When you cross those two poles or you make contact between the negative and the positive, that energy starts producing light. God is the source of that light in our lives. He is a battery of sorts. When he saves you, he puts a battery in there. So how many of you have brought toys home from the store and, you know, takes batteries? And so you put the battery in and all of a sudden you have noise and lights, and so much so that we, you know, parents, we like, get that away, or take the speaker out or something. That's something I've done already. Put tape over the speaker, or anyways, battery, power, display of light and sound. So God purchased you, right? If he did, he purchased you, puts his battery in you, and he sits back and he's like, what's going to happen? And ideally, light will come forth. Sounds will come forth. He put a speaker in all of us, and when turn the toy on, or the person or whatever, light and vibrations and all kinds of things happen when you connect to an energy source. Now, the question is, How is your battery? What is coming out of your life? As you go through your day-by-day experience of life, what is coming out of you? These are all kinds of displays of light and sounds that glorify God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. We'll be looking at a few more aspects of this verse as we go along. Cleansing and light are coupled together. So when if you're ladies, if the house lights are really dim, you walk into the house, you can't see the dirt, right? Right? But you turn the bright lights on, all of a sudden you see a whole new dimension of dirt. Hopefully not, but that's usually how it works. If there is dirt, you turn the lights on and dirt is revealed. We walk in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Clean the windows and light comes streaming through. We don't like to see dirty windows, especially if they're really crusty. You know, you can't see out, you can't see through, and you got to clean the window, get rid of the dirt, and then the light comes through. Sometimes that's what God has to do with us. He gets His cleaning supplies, and He cleans His windows so that the light can shine through. You know, it's not that hard for God to put His light into you. You get on your knees and you cry, "I'm sorry, God, for all my sins. Would you please forgive me? And I accept the blood of Jesus as the remedy for my sin. I accept your promises that you have said. If we come to you, you receive us." And God puts His battery in, and the light is in there, and you get up from your knees, and now all of a sudden God is watching what's going to happen. It's harder, much harder for God to get His light out of us than it is to get it in, isn't it? Not that hard for God to put His light and life into us. But when He tries to get it out of us, it can be a different story sometimes. Because of our humanity and our sins. God speaks to us through our receptors. So what do you need to be able to see light? Anybody? Anybody with me? What do you need to be able to see light? Eyes. What were you going to say? Eyes. Eyeballs. How many of you have eyeballs? I think probably, I don't know if anybody that lost theirs, some people have one, some people are blind, but I think all of us here this morning have two eyeballs that are working great for the most part. And as we get older, they don't work quite as well, and I'm beginning to find that out a little bit, but we have eyeballs, light comes in, and I don't know what all happens after that, but light is the eyeball is the receptor for light. So, let's just do this. If this one, probably a little easier to see from back there. That one don't have one either. So I only got one marker here this morning. We have a steady stream of things that come into our vision. As you go through your day, you don't even think about this, do you? You get up in the morning, steady stream of things starts going through your vision. Just all day long, unless you're sleeping, you see all these things come into your vision. So, God is, you say it, a couple mumbles back there, God is light. He's the light that is shining. His light is shining. He puts a little bit of His light into us. So we have some light, and as we look at the steady stream of things that comes into our vision, we interpret them, right? We see something that, you know, that's a plant, or we see an accident. Oh, that's an accident. We see just constant constantly interpreting things. Light is shining. Items go along, light shining, and we interpret it, and then I thought of the word repentance. It would make more sense. Elam this morning, if he would have been driving on Turnpike, and he would have came to the Bedford exit, and he was looking at his phone or doing something else, oh, there goes my exit. He would have had to repent, right? He would have had to turn around. That's all repentance simply is, just a turning around. It would make maybe a little more sense if John the Baptist was said, turn around, people. You're going the wrong direction. We've attached some kind of a spiritual stigma to the word of repentance. And it's this ancient term that we don't really connect to, but it's simply turn around, go the opposite direction. But anyway, so we see this, we interpret it, and it affects our life. Our actions are reflected by the light that is coming to our eyes that interprets this steady stream of life, and the course of our lives go whichever way that the interpretation runs, based on what? The light. And Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be what? Darkness. How great is that darkness? He was simply saying, when the light goes out, the course of your life will go a different direction than if the light is on. God wants us to connect to His light. He wants us to be the light. He wants us to see life through the light that He's shining into our lives. And it's also true in the physical sense. The sun comes up in the morning, and you see all of the items of your day go by. Light shines on them. You know, you interpret colors, and it's just a whole host of things. When it gets dark at night, the light goes out, lights go out, and everything kind of stops, doesn't it? But that's how it works. That's how light works. It's an energy source, both spiritual and physical. Light is an energy source that God created for the function of life. And more importantly, while the physical light is fascinating and amazing, it is much more important that we get this concept of this spiritual light that God has shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It will affect our lives. It will affect our eternal destiny. We're all going to be dead in 100 years. From now, I can pretty much guarantee that. I don't think there's anybody, maybe some of the really little ones if they get, you know, whatever. But for the most part, we'll all be dead in 150 years for sure. But we'll be somewhere. We'll be somewhere. And it's very important that we grasp this concept, this truth that God is speaking to us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, today we have fellowship with Him and with each other, and for all eternity we'll have that same fellowship. Starts here. Must start here. I don't think I'm going to get through here, so we'll just kind of wing it. Sometimes we say, I had a light bulb moment. What do we mean by that? The light came on, didn't it? All of a sudden we understand something that we didn't understand before. He shed some light on the matter. We have a discussion and we're like, you know, we're throwing things around, and all of a sudden somebody steps up and he shed some light on the matter. And we're happy about that. We got revelation. We got information. It's because of the light that came into the situation. God wants to use you as that light in people's lives. I started out with telling you how dark it is around us. Shouldn't be dark in here. Lots of lights in here today. But when you go out, you're a little light walking through the darkness. And I use this example. I haven't used it for a while. I think I might have used it here already, but I call it the warehouse example. I think this happened, if I remember right, down here at Bedford Pallets. One time I came there after hours, and there's a big dark warehouse in the back, no windows, doors were all closed, a little side door. And there were lights in there, but they were off. And so I opened the door, went inside, and left the door open just a little crack. So the door's back here, open just a little crack, and you walk into the darkness. It's like, can't see where you're going. It's just dark. Go over to the other side of the warehouse, you turn around and put your face toward the light. And it's just amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to try this, but that little crack of light will light your pathway all the way across that dark warehouse. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about your position in relation to the light. Do you have your back to the light, or are you facing the light? And when people in darkness, they see this little Christian light walking through the world, little light, just a little tiny light. We're usually not super bright lights, but God can make us brighter if we're willing. But most of the time, hopefully at least, a little light. You can see that little light a long ways off. People, oh, there goes some light. And they gravitate towards the light. We're meant to draw people to the light. We're not out there with sticks and stones chasing people towards the light. No, you're a light that draws. I don't know what word I should use. I was going to say, I'll just let that. But you know the example of when you put a light out up in the night, all of the pests go for the light. And it's meant, like in the Christian sense, when the pest meets the light, he's converted. You know, we put lights up to burn them. Pest hits the light, fire, dead. But Christians, light, shining light, their people are drawn to the light, and all of a sudden they transformed. Do you understand the importance of you being the light of the world? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I don't know how far away, let's say it would be completely pitch black, like when you go into a cave and you turn all the lights off, it is so dark you can't see absolutely nothing. If you would do that, and this, you could probably see this for a long ways off, little tiny light shining in the darkness. That's you and I. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We don't do that, do we? Put a nice candle display up on our table. Hey, go get the bushel. We'll put it on top, and now everybody's happy. No, it doesn't work. We put it there to shine light. How often do we put the bushel over our light? God puts his light, he lights his candles, and we promptly go and we try to put a bushel over it to hide the light. Oh, let's not do that. Let's allow the light to shine forth. They put it on a candlestick up there somewhere, you know, up a little bit where you can see it. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Oh, that's legalism. We want nothing to do with good works. Legalism. We don't want that. Somebody said that's the first word in Satan's dictionary, legalism. That they may see your good works. See your good actions. Christianity produces works. Now there is something like legalism, I know that, but this is not what legalism is. Jesus said that they may see your good works. Well, what are good works? The good things that people do. Part of being the light. Part of What happens when God's light hits the circumstances of your life? Produces good works, which are meant to draw people back to the light. So let's not inhibit that process by some crazy lies of modern Christianity and evil lying spirits. Let's take the words of Jesus and believe them. Let your light shine. See your good works. God is glorified. Is that in this verse? Yes, I couldn't find it in my notes. They see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Good works in the lives of Christians bring glory and honor to the Heavenly Father. Of course they don't earn your salvation. Hopefully we understand that. There's people that are going around in their lives trying to produce good works so that God accepts them. They look at God, more works. Can you accept me now? You can never do enough of good works. God receives you with open arms in spite of all of your sins. When you're first saved, you're just that little baby that doesn't know anything. And they soon start to know a few things, and they soon start kicking and screaming and fighting and, you know, doing all those negative things. But don't they? I think they do. It's been a while since we had one. But that's generally how it works. We still love them, and we're like, oh, you know. Then we do things to try to help them become a better person as they grow older. Same way with God. We are His children. We're children of the Heavenly Father. It works the same way. God loves us. We're secure all the time. You don't have to worry. Now, if you're intentionally saying, God, I'm not going to do that. I hate, you know, you rebel against God and, well, it doesn't, that's a different, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, if your heart is turned towards God, create in me a clean heart. Like the psalmist was writing, God loves you. He accepts you. And it should bring joy into our lives. Maybe that's why so much joy is lacking so many times, because we don't understand that God accepts us fully and completely just based on who we are and our faith in Him. Maybe you're ready to, you know, throw me out and say, well, he's got on the bandwagon with, the only thing that matters is in the heart. Well, yeah, that's right. It is. That's how it is. The only thing that matters is what's in the heart, because that's where it all starts. If your heart is right, your outside will be right also. The lie is, people say, well, it doesn't matter what I do out here. My actions don't matter. My heart is good. That's a complete farce. Because when your heart is good, your actions are good. When your actions are bad, your heart is bad. Sorry, but that's how it works. That's what Jesus said. He said, you're Pharisees, you're so concerned about the outside, about the actions, about what you're doing, but you've missed it because first you cleanse the inside. First you cleanse the inside, then the outside will be clean also. Do you understand that? Did I come through on that one? So we can actually say the only thing that really matters is what's in the heart. We have to qualify it, it seems, these days, but that is actually the way it is. Healthy heart, healthy body, healthy actions. What are some of the good works that cause God to be glorified by our lives? Think about what God did. How much we appreciate the fact, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, not for a bunch of good people, but for His enemies. God so loved that He gave, we could almost say irrationally, because we don't understand. Would you give your only child, your only begotten Son, for somebody that just absolutely hates your guts? Would you? Okay, here's my son for your redemption. Would you do that? That's what God did. He gave His only Son. What are the actions that glorify? That kind of expressions of love will cause God's name to be glorified. Agape love, we call it. Jesus' example. We're talking about what are some good works. When Jesus, I think, was the ultimate expression of God putting His life into Him, and He exploded with good works. It was just, you know, the things that came the way of Jesus. Jesus always did what? The will of His Father. And so he was completely filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the Bible tells us that God put His Spirit into Jesus without measure. We humans today have a measured amount of the Holy Spirit, I believe. But when you get a body together like this, a group of people, little bit of Jesus, little bit of everyone, all of a sudden you get a lot of Jesus. In Him, the church, all His fullness dwells. We can't, you know, too much power for one person, right? If God would put it, we'd probably burn out. We'd just be gone in a puff of smoke. If God would put the full measure of His Spirit in us as a human being, but He gives us just enough so that we're still human. Does that make sense? So together we become the fullness of Jesus Christ. And I look at the church, God, would you please do it again today? Revive the church. Acts 2. People that are sparkling for Jesus, if I can use that term, sounds kind of carnal. But isn't that what it's all about? People that are passionate. Peter, I don't know Jesus. No, I have no idea who Jesus is. No, he started cursing. I don't know him. Pentecost, this is the one that you crucified, right in the face of these people, same people. And he, all of a sudden, he had repentance. There was a repentance took place in his life, a change. There's a massive change when God touches humans. Can't be otherwise. We reflect the things that, you know, you actually have a choice in this matter as a Christian. You can cooperate with God and allow Him to keep pouring His life into you by creating more death in you. The cross, you know, dead to the world, dead to sin. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Pour thy rich streams into our hearts, something like that. Dead to the world would I be, O Father. Dead unto sin, alive unto you. Crucify all the earthly within me. All the earthly. Whether it's my deer hunting, my airplanes, I don't know what all they are, but it all the earthly. Crucify all the earthly. I'm like, you know, out under the stars. Crucify all the earthly within me. I mean, how much is left? There's nothing left. When God crucifies all the earthly, there's nothing left. But that's the way to become a brighter light for His kingdom. Crucify all the earthly within me. And that light can shine forth. By the way, God is good at doing that. He knows just what it takes. Parents know just what it takes. Spankings, you know, for their kids, children. Spankings produces what? Good fruit. God spanks us. How do I respond when He spanks me? Do I respond in brokenness and a renewed surrender, or do I like? I'm not going to cooperate with you. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk. Anybody know? Not quite. Not quite. Starts with an H. Honestly. Are you honest here this morning? People look at you. Pretty good person. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Inside, no. There's a voice that's saying, you got problems. You need to change. There's darkness in there. Let us walk honestly. God, shine your light upon my heart. Help me to see the darkness in my own heart and life. If it means you need to have a time before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. This is a sin that I'm struggling with, and I'm sorry for it. I just want to, by your help, come dead to it. And it means you need to go home to your wife and say, look, I committed this sin. I did this. I did such and such. Will you please forgive me? Your children in this congregation, you need to stand up and say, look, I've sinned against the church. I've done whatever. Walk honestly. God will bring more light into your life. It's all about being a light, right? He's called you to be His light in this world of darkness. Creates a process. God has a steps to becoming more light. We have all kinds of steps to, you know? Wealth and who knows what all. God also has steps to, maybe one, pretty simple. Dead. You're dead. And your life is what? Hid with Christ. You become dead. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Put off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness. Words that we don't really maybe know. The chambering and wantonness, I think, are pretty much has to do with immorality. Drunkenness, rioting, we understand. Not in strife. Church, are you listening? I'm not just saying here, but the church as a whole. Not in strife. How many times is the work of God stopped? The name of God is blasphemed in the church, out of the church, because of strife. God help us to not fall into this snare of strife. Envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it comes again. Make not provision for what? The flesh. Remember, I don't know if Chapino said it here or not, but he was, this is great. He came to the United States. I can serve God and serve my flesh both. Right, there's no better deal, right? Well, he soon found out it doesn't work that way. Back where he came from, all the way down by the border of El Salvador, back in the sticks, when somebody said, I'm a Christian, they watched him. They watched his works. Is he really a Christian? Yeah, he's a Christian, finally, because they saw the life he was living. So that's hard. That's a cost involved. You know, your life changes when you become a Christian. Your life changes. Come to the United States, you don't have to change your life. You can be a friend of the world and a friend of God. It's all great. You can do whatever you want. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I'm having fun here. I'm doing everything I want. I can divorce my wife. I can do whatever I want. God loves me no matter what I do. False doctrine. Sorry. It's false doctrine. I don't want to get too carried away here. But it is. It's false doctrine. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your instrument of death. Jesus didn't come to this world to have fun. He came to die so that life can come forth. How much different should it be from us? If life will come forth, there must first be a death. The old James Pate is dead. You are dead. Now there's a new one. Whoa, what happened to him? He's different than he used to be. That's what God intends for us as his children. But the challenge is it really so? That's a challenge for me, a challenge for you. Hopefully I'm not being too rough on you. But didn't I just get done saying it is hard? It's a life full of joy, but it's not a life full of fleshly fun. And till we get that straight, our light will mostly be hidden. Because a light can only shine when God removes more flesh out of the way. All this, you know, he puts his life in here and then he's got to get the flesh away. Flesh out of the way so the life can come, light can shine forth. The result of walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. Are you in good fellowship here today? Social intercourse, communion. That's what the word fellowship means. Or do you, I can't stand him. I'm going out that door. Can't stand her. Going over that way. Going out the door. It's not having fellowship. You have social interaction. How's it going? What do you mean, how's it going? Do you really want to know how's it going? And then you start saying, you know, and if everything's fine, you say, it's going fine. If everything's not fine, you say, well, I'm not doing so good right now. Does that sound like fellowship? To me, it does. I like the security of a relationship where you can do that. You don't have to, you know, walk on eggs around each other because you're afraid we're going to hurt each other. And, you know, say a little something wrong, somebody's quickly offended. That's not the fellowship that, not the intimate fellowship that he's talking about here. First of all, your fellowship starts with the Heavenly Father. You're secure in your relationship. You're fully accepted in the Beloved. You know that. You know it. You understand it. At least to a part. And then you're in a position to start fellowshipping out here. You're walking in the light. God is shining his light onto your life, your motives, your thoughts, all those, you know, under the surface areas that he's shining his light in there and cleaning things up. And you meet another person like that and you have fellowship. Light means light, there's fellowship. Light, two lights, more light. More fellowship, more light. And all of a sudden you have this city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid that Jesus was talking about. I think God is, you know, he's very gracious with us, but he's like, he's longing to see more light coming out of Christian light. Isn't he? Or am I just barking up the wrong tree? I don't know. Well, I think I do know, but fellowship. If we're out of fellowship, what is wrong? Probably our fellowship is broken down somewhere between me and God. Because if we walk in the light, or we're walking in darkness, this is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is no gray areas. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We have fellowship. Just It's a math fact. It can't be compromised. I mean, it's just the way it is. Cleanses us from all sin. All sin. What a joy. There's no sin that you can fall into, Jesus said, except the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure what all that means, but other than that, there is no sin that you can commit, have ever committed, are into today, will fall into. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, makes us white, righteous, holy in His sight. But we walk in the light as He is in the light. Blood cleanses, we have fellowship. Prerequisite is if we're willing to walk in the light, walk honestly, walk in the daytime. Commonness of purpose. We're talking about the result of walking the light. We are going the same direction. You have a group of people that are going the same direction. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Like-minded people have fellowship. Having the same love. Probably reflecting back to the love of Jesus. Being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Does that describe us as a church? Does that describe your relationships with whoever, whatever your relationships are? Esteeming others better. Full of love. Oneness. Unity of the Holy Spirit. No strife, no vainglory, no narcissism. Christians shouldn't be narcissistic or self-centered. The fancy way of saying self-centered, I guess. But that's not who we are. Not who we were intended to be. Vainglory, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't look at your things. I got all this stuff to do at home. I can't go help him. I first have to do my stuff. Is that how it goes? Once I have time, you know, once I get my stuff done, then I'll be free to go help the people in Puerto Rico or Texas or in your church community, whatever. You know, me first. Me first. I don't know how that all shakes out for sure because, you know, we're also terribly busy. We don't have time to do anything, but we're doing all this stuff. You know, I'm not sure what to say. But this is what Paul said. Don't worry about your things. Go help somebody else. Talking about having fellowship. Now, I should actually correct myself there because he also wrote to Timothy and said, if you don't take care of yourself, you're worse than an atheist. Or your family and so on. You do have to do that. So that's why I say I'm not quite sure, you know, how to do all that. Always. We are all a work in progress, aren't we? And I just want to leave these comforting words with you, hopefully. I want you to understand that in spite of my imperfections, in spite of my secret sins, not intentionally secret, but in spite of my imperfection, those are actually sins. In spite of my sins, God, in His mercy and in His grace, accepts us and loves us so much that He keeps working on us. But we're a work in progress, all the way from the time of our new birth till the time of our eternal transformation. He in that time period, He loves us and accepts us as the way we are. Not, I know that sounds kind of carnal, but He really does. He accepts us where we are currently if our hearts are turned towards Him. I think in the back of our minds, a lot of us come from a background of strong performance, works oriented, traditions and teachings, and we're influenced by that to the point where we can't really feel the joy of the Heavenly Father's approval in our lives, based solely on His love for us. It has nothing to do with your performance. That's not why God loves you. He does not love you because you first loved Him or you were first acceptable to Him. No. He loves you because He loves you. Just because He's love. He's like, I love these people. I just love them. Doesn't make any sense, but I just love them. I'm going to send Jesus down there so they can be saved and be with me throughout all eternity. I don't know how else to say it. There's no other reason that He loves us, just because He's love. And when it's hard for that to get through this person, for me as a person, but it humbles you. When you start understanding God, He just decided, He just loves because He's love. So in spite of this challenging encouragement to allow, your lights to shine brighter, part of that process is simply resting in the grace and the promises and the acceptance of the Lord Jesus. And that's when you walk out into a world with a heart at peace. It's like a breath of fresh air. People, especially this time of the year, should be a great time. And, maybe it is in some ways, but all this rat race to buy gifts and spend money and, having a good time. And it's just a time of stress. You walk into Walmart and your face is like shining, with a big smile. And how are you today? Remember Harry Argo? I just love his stories about going into Home Depot, I think, or Lowe's, and addressing the people by their names, and they're like, and it just does, that's how it is. So let's allow the Lord to develop that light that He wants to produce out of us. Shine. You are the light of the world. Shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. How does He shine today? He shines through his creation. Let's go back to the awesome creation of the universe. So we look at that and we're like, some are, some people aren't, but for me as a believer in God, this just shows me a greater dimension of the Creator. The size of the creation, if He can make something that big, how big is He really, Most of the times our creations are within, like if we create something or, we make something, it's usually our size. So, wow. But, we can still make human. We look at the creation of God, remember the 90,000 years and 200 billion. I don't even know what a billion is. I can't even think what a billion is. 200 billion galaxies, and somewhere there must be a big God. Why am I saying all that? When God does that with humans, He comes in, He transforms a human being, and people see the transformation. Wow! It's the way it's supposed to work. They should be drawn back to the Creator. Smile on your face. Can I pray for you? You listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Somebody in the store or in the... I don't know if I said, I think I said that here. It happened to me one time. A man was talking about cancer in the Lowe's, and thought coming to my mind, maybe you should pray for him. So, can I pray for you? Oh, yeah. And he walked with us. Remember that? He walked with us over to the counter. And he was just touched by, and that's, I'm not trying to, blow my own whistle, but that's what God wants to do with each one of us. It's amazing what he can do with one person. You know, we read the stories of one person that got revived. He got on fire for God and the tremendous impact he had in the world. What about a whole church full? Every one of us becomes a blazing light in Bedford County. I just think that, you know, we could turn the world upside down, right? There was two or three guys went to a city back yonder in the New Testament times, and they, hey, these guys that turned the world upside down are here also. Two men, I think it was. Two men that were empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say one more thing while I think about it, and it's time to close. I don't think I said this here, but there's controversy amongst churches. It comes very close to home. In fact, one of the churches that we would have associated with said the baptism of the Holy Spirit as it was given back there is not for our day today. That is just wrong. I'm sorry. And there's people that say, well, the apostles only had the supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit. That is not true either. If you read through Acts, you will find they had ordained 7 deacons. Mr. Stephen was one of those deacons. He went out and did mighty works and miracles. And Philip, I don't think he was one of the 12 apostles, went down to a city, and they did mighty works and miracles there, and the whole city, all of Bedford, was full of joy because one man came and ministered to the needs of the city, or the town, or the village. But my point there is, do not believe the lie that you cannot be filled and empowered and baptized with the Holy Spirit. We didn't get to that question in our Sunday school lesson, and I know it's, you know, we don't really know what to do with it. What does it mean to be baptized with the Spirit? Well, we should be, I mean, yeah, it's a good question, but what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is in you, in a great measure, life, light will come forth. Did I wear you out? Hopefully it was an inspiration for you this week. If you come up, Johnny, and close here after I pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I just pray that you would forgive my fumblings. And yet, I thank you that we can be secure in who we are in Christ Jesus. You have given us the opportunity to shine as lights in this world of darkness. I pray that you would raise up your churches across the nation, across the globe. And may we be a faithful city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. I pray that you would cut off all of the demonic accesses, lies that we may be believing, even us maybe here this morning that are believing lies that we shouldn't be. I pray you would reveal them. I pray against any dead tradition and dead religion. I ask you to cleanse us from all of these things and help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, to walk honestly as in the daytime. Thank you for being the good shepherd. We trust you to continue to shepherd us and lead us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much. We need your tender care. We thank you for your tender compassion toward us in spite of our imperfection, in spite of our sins. We worship you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, the one that is in charge of the nations. You are great, high, and holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Just bow before you, Lord. Just want to acknowledge you in our smallness and our weakness. Bless you in the name of Jesus.